Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Listen, I have a bone to pick with you.
With me, personally? Why?
Well, you're the one that made jokes about me getting sucked out of the sky mid-flight.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about, first of all, funny. I don't blame myself. I was actually thinking about the awesome power of manifestation.
Wait, I have a question. Isn't the show Manifest, like, specifically about these things? About getting plane trauma?
It's kind of about plane trauma. I mean, I think your plane trauma could relate, because I'm sure it felt this way. But on Manifest, on Netflix streaming. Anyways, on Manifest.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored. It used to be on NBC. A family has to split their flights. And then so half the family, so I think it's the mom and the daughter and the grandparents, I think they're coming back from Hawaii, and they have to split it up because there aren't enough seats, right? And the mom, so the family, half of the family goes on the first flight, and then the second half, which is the dad's sister and the son, who's going through chemotherapy or something, they get on the second flight. And then when they land, they find out that they have landed 5 years into the future.
Excuse me?
That is right. They went through a time warp. There was some turbulence on the plane, so that's probably where it happened. But yeah, they end up 5 years in the future. Everyone assumed that they were dead.
Let's give everybody some context about why we're talking about this show, Manifest, which we're not going to talk about because I've never watched it. But I was traveling with my family. We went to Los Angeles, as I mentioned on the podcast, like last week or the week before. You gave me a whole bunch of guff about raising ungrateful, spoiled children.
They are.
And we talked about me getting sucked out of the sky from all my travels. Well, on our flight from Newark to Los Angeles, about 2 to 3 hours into our flight, we had an emergency landing in St. Louis. Beautiful St. Louis. And because they said, hey, we think that there might be a fire on this plane. Okay. And we landed and they said, you know, we're going to check out the plane. We're going to figure out what's going on. We're going to get you guys another plane and we'll get you to Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. Sounds great. Well, if this was like a regular airport, like if this was like, say, Chicago, like O'Hare or like any other larger hub, we would have been on another flight in an hour or two. But the St. Louis airport is a bus stop. Okay. It's a bus depot. Okay. It's not very big. And they were not equipped to handle this size plane because it was like one of those planes that had like the four seats in the middle and three seats on each side. So like a big old like international big mega. What are those called?
The Airbuses?
It's not an Airbus. It's a Boeing. But it's we used to call it, when we were kids, we used to call it Jumbo Jet. Remember that?
Yeah, but why did you change the pronunciation of Jumbo?
Because that's what they used to call it. That's how I remember. Once I moved to America, I never heard any person say Jumbo Jet. It was only ever used by like aunties and uncles, and they would say Jumbo Jet.
I've always called it a Jumbo Jet. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're still calling it Jumbo Jets? You're like, I'm going to take a Jumbo Jet to London? Anyways. The St. Louis airport said, hey, we're just a small mom and pop shop here. We don't really know what to do with these big old planes, okay?
Your big planes scare us.
Yeah. And we're like,
you're going to fly through the arch.
Yeah. No, thank you. And so we got to get a rescue plane from Houston to come up and get you guys. And we're like, okay. And it was 10:30 there, and they're like, well, rescue plane will be here at 3:30. We'll get you guys on a flight at 4:30. I say, great.
Yeah.
At 3:30, we got a text message. Just kidding. Your rescue plane will get here at 5:30. We're like, okay. Rescue plane, yes.
Can I ask a question at this point? Yeah. Now, is a rescue plane a regular plane that they just call a rescue plane, or is it like, does it look like a...
That's a great question. Do you think that it comes with sirens? Is that your question? Is it an idea of a plane?
I'm imagining a plane from Paw Patrol.
Yeah, it's not. It's just a regular plane, an empty plane, a passengerless plane that they send over.
Ooh, a ghost ship.
Yes, exactly. It comes over, so it gets there. We finally get on, and they're like, once we get on, they're like, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're just about to take off, but we can't because... Mm-hmm. Whilst the plane has been here for quite some time, we don't have, the St. Louis airport does not have the staff to be able to take out your luggage from the old plane into the new plane. So we're going to have you sit here while we get the old plane luggage out and put it into the new plane. We're like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then while that's happening, the captain comes on and it's like 6:30 and he's like, just so you know, we've been working since about 6 a.m. and we were supposed to be actually done with the day on the hour. But we're making an exception for you guys because we do want you to come to Los Angeles. So we're just waiting on FAA regulation paperwork to get approved for our overtime. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why are you telling us this?
So hold on. So at this point, he's giving you attitude, obviously.
He's telling me that I should be grateful that he's still working half an hour after he was supposed to be done for the day. Meanwhile, I've been in St. Louis for 8 hours looking at fried beef raviolis and using as much as I can of my $15 voucher at the four places that offer food at the St. Louis airport.
He is at this point giving you what our mother calls thuns. You are getting thunsed.
Yeah. Yeah. Guff. Okay. Guff. And we're like, okay, that's weird. Anyway, we finally take off finally at 7, right? We were told 4:30. All right, 7 o'clock. We're going to get to Los Angeles around, 10 p.m. We'll figure it out. Yes. Another question from the audience.
Another question. Now, you said, so were you on the plane from like 4:30 to 7?
No, we were on the plane from 6 to 7.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, but we're sitting there, we're waiting. They're making all these dumbass announcements about luggage and staffing and overtime paperwork. Finally, we take off at 7. We take off, and my little guide, Noah, he turns to me and he says, Mama, we're landing. And I said, no, we're not, Noah. Don't say that. He goes, I think there's something wrong with this plane. We're landing. And I was like, be quiet. Like, don't say that, right?
Did you feel like he was going Final Destination on you?
I was like,
your premonition?
I know. I was like, shut the fuck up. Okay. Don't jinx it. And then not like 3 seconds later, the captain comes on. He's like, hey, so we just got a call from the control tower and it looks like this plane is also smoking from the back. Oh. So we're going to need to turn the plane around. And unfortunately, we are going to have to land you guys back in St. Louis, have a fire truck come out and check out the plane. And then out of safety, we definitely cannot fly you guys to Los Angeles. You're going to have to spend the night in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I like the audible groans. Like I was like, this can't happen. Like we can't have two emergency landings, two of them. What's going on here? We got tin cans in the sky and they're putting people inside of it.
You know, because I was being updated by you about your journey. The second plane is when I knew, and, you know, hearing when the second plane was going to go back to St. Louis Airport. That's when I knew that your trip would be okay. That's when I knew that you would make it to L.A. Because there's no way that you get on three different airplanes and then have an issue.
Oh, buddy. You don't know that. You don't know that, right? So anyway, we get back to the airport. We go back inside. Like, the airport is so tiny that they don't even have, like, tunnels big enough to attach to big planes. You have to take a shuttle. And they only have one or two buses that fits about 15 people at a time. So just even getting out of the plane and back into the airport, or out of the airport into the plane, takes, like, a good 45 minutes. It's just, like, a lot. I will say this. The people of St. Louis, delightful. Okay.
I was going to ask you about the people of St. Louis. So nice. Quick question. So you had to deplane. You had to come off the steps, right?
Yeah.
And then kind of get into a bus. So I had that experience when I went to Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. Was it nostalgic coming down the plane steps? Because that is how we used to travel all the time in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel very much like this is a time of, you know, of luxury, when planes were luxurious.
Yeah.
When we had to take steps in and out of planes like we were on a fucking private jet.
Yeah.
And not because a second dilapidated train is destroying my children's vacation. It was just bad, man. And then we finally go inside and United's like, yeah, you're going to get a link on your phone and you're just going to have to book your hotel that way. Like, they're not even booking hotels for us, right? So finally we get our hotel and we're like, all right, we got to get our luggage. Cause like I travel with kids. I'm not packing a whole bunch of extra stuff with me. I always check my bags. Mm-hmm. And again, they were like, yeah. So unfortunately we don't have the staff to get the luggage out of the big plane into the airport. So you guys are just going to have to make do with these $15 vouchers we're going to give you and get what you can at Hudson News.
$50 per person?
It was actually $30 per person. By the end of the trip, we had been given about $60 per person.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but you know what? Killing. No, I mean, I don't know if that's a killing. What's 60 times 4?
60 times 4 is 240.
Yeah, I mean, is that a killing? That's not even a full plane ticket for one.
That's 12 lap dances, man.
Okay. I like just, and you know what? Airports are expensive. Even the St. Louis airport, which again is like a bus terminal, is still so expensive.
Even the St. Louis airport, and I want to underline, the St. Louis airport is a shithole, is what you're saying.
No. I don't want to say it's a shithole because, you know, the people are nice. They're doing their job. They're so nice.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Mike, I told you what my kid said to me. I was, you know, because we're like trauma bonding, right? All of us, we're all talking, whatever. And Aiden turns to me. He kind of whispers to me. He goes, Mama, you're a lot more social at this airport than you've ever been at any other airport. And I was like, is that a problem for you? And he was like, yeah. I was like, would you prefer that I be quiet and mind my own business? And he was like, kind of. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. We're going to talk to each other because we're all pissed. And, you know, every like 20 minutes, you have the same conversation with another group of people. You're like, what are you going for? Mm-hmm. Oh, what were you going to miss? Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Luggage. They don't even have a team for luggage.
Anyway, I mean, this is nuts. I've never seen anything like this. This is nuts.
No, but you know what? For being in a plane full of New Yorkers and New Jersey people, not one freak out. No. Not a single freak out. Everybody was cool, calm, and collect. And I do think that there's like a lot of like, you know, people think like people from the East Coast are assholes and they fight and they're Karens and they're so mean. But like it was a big ass plane and it was a full flight. And there were so many people and there were a bunch of kids and not a single kid crying. No irritation, no cry, no yelling, no fighting with the staff at St. Louis Airport. Like everybody was lovely. And yeah, so chill.
We're blunt. We're not rude. You know what I mean? We understand a situation.
Yeah.
You know, you just say, oh, well, okay, this is what I expect from you. It didn't happen. So, like, in your case, you guys land in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
This isn't what was supposed to happen. But then you land in St. Louis and you're like, well, this is St. Louis now. This is the new reality. So you don't really get upset at the people. You understand.
Yeah. And I think also maybe it was because we managed our expectations. Like, I think if maybe we were at like a larger airport and this shit was happening, we would probably have been more pissed. Mm-hmm. But this airport was kind of like, they threw their arms up very early on into the situation. They were like, listen, we don't do this. Like, this is.
It sounds kind of cute, actually. It sounds like a whimsical adventure.
Adorable. I think I saw the same person working several different jobs at the airport. Like, they were a TSA person. They were like, you know, they had the little, the air traffic controller cones. They had, you know, they were scanning boarding passes. I was like, how many jobs do you have here? What's going on? I think she took my drink order. You know, like she just, they all were lovely. They were so nice. And they were just, and you know what they said to me? They said, you know what? You guys are from Jersey. You guys are very nice for being from New Jersey. You guys are so pleasant.
Now, do you think that's based on their previous experience or do you think that it was just what their perception is of New Jersey?
No, I think that people's perception of the East Coast, New Jersey, New York is very negative. And I think that they're always surprisingly, you know, they're always like delightfully surprised when we're like, you know, not monsters. But I think it's also because like we live in an area where like other crazy things happen. Mm-hmm. Like that this isn't, we're like, you know, like we're used to delays on like subways. We're used to sitting in traffic. So I think that also helps. I think the
traffic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I think understanding traffic and traffic delays and stuff like that, you just kind of get used to it. You're just like, mm-hmm. well, this is just my life. It's wasting away.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
Yeah. You just throw your arms up and go, well, at least I didn't get sucked out of the sky. You know?
At least I have both my AirPods.
I know. Well, guess what? I don't have my AirPods.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, and then the next morning, we spent the night at a Hilton. Everybody, again, Ooh. Was so
Sponsored.
Nice.
Sponsored.
Not sponsored. And then the next morning we went to the airport bright and early. Fastest TSA line we've ever seen in my life. Everybody who was talking to us were like, oh yeah, you guys are the most popular news that happened around here. Like, oh my God, we're so excited. There's so much excitement. After you guys leave, it's just going to be dead quiet here. We're not going to have anything going on. And I was like, oh my God, we brought you so much joy, St. Louis.
That's so nice.
Yeah. And finally we got to LA at like 1 p.m. and we lost a day and a half.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it was frustrating.
Did you get to see any of St. Louis or were you guys just in the hotel?
Oh, we were just airport to hotel. I did think like if I was there by myself, I would have maybe like been like, you know, let me take an Uber around and check out the, you mm-hmm. know, the arch, see what that's about.
Apparently it's just a big arch.
It's just an arch. Yeah.
It's just an arch. But okay. I hear downtown St. Louis is nice.
Okay.
I don't know. I
wouldn't just made know. That up. I've been there twice now, so I wouldn't know.
Would you go back to St. Louis?
No, I don't think so. I think that me and St. Louis are professionally and personally done.
The people were nice.
The people were lovely. Nothing against the people of mm-hmm. St. Louis. It's just, and I'm such a bougie bitch that when they were like, we're going to have to do an emergency landing in St. Louis, I immediately was like, United Lounge at St. Louis. I was like, no, the St. Louis airport does not have a United Lounge, you piece of shit.
They just have a lounge.
They have a lounge. Yeah. Father at one point goes, hey guys, let's go walk around. Let's go check out the rest of the airport. This can't be it. And then Noah and him went and took a walk and he said, let's count our steps mm-hmm. from one end of this, you know, area to the next. And do you know how many steps it was?
How many?
Noah's little steps too. Think about that.
How many?
290.
Really?
Yes.
It's so adorable.
It was so cute.
I want to take the St. Louis airport and put it in my pocket.
It's a little pint-sized, cute little pie airport. Okay, it was a Polly Pocket of an airport.
With toy airplanes just going zoom, zoom.
Like the Fisher-Price airport set, you know what I mean? That's what it was.
Mama, I'm flying.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, it was not something I wish upon my enemies, and I am bizarrely getting ready to head again to the airport in less than 12 hours. I mean, about 8 hours I have to be back at the airport.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all of this, none of this is for professional reasons. This is all for your own personal enjoyment and that's pretty much it. You just
it feels to me like a loaded statement. Like, I need you to unpack what it is that you're trying to point out here.
Oh, it's just pointed. I am pointing out the bougie lifestyle that you live.
Yeah.
Bling, well, bling, bloom.
Yeah. Well, that's that. So those are my travels. But Los Angeles, a beautiful city. So lovely this time of year. Another town where people are so nice.
And you would know because you go every time of year to Los Angeles.
I do not. I've been there like 3 times in my life. Relax.
Didn't you go twice this year?
Okay. We're going again in November. Anyway, what's been going on in pop culture? I wouldn't know. I've been, you know what? You said the thing about Manifest. I do feel like I lost days. I lost a couple of days there in the middle where I was just like, I don't know what's going on. All I'm looking at is I'm refreshing this fucking boarding pass on my my United app to see if I'm going to get a new update or not. Like, that's all I've been thinking about. So anything happened?
Anything that has happened? Yeah, the world is on fire. That's what's happened. College kids are being arrested. That's happening.
Insanity.
You can't criticize Israel anymore, you personally.
Because me? It is,
yes. Or any of us, because they just passed a resolution.
Which one?
Is it the anti-Semitism
resolution? Oh, well, it literally means nothing anymore, okay? Yeah. These things mean nothing. None of these words mean anything.
It's again, we've talked about this. Obviously, you want to be respectful. Yes, there's anti-Semitism that happens in these instances. When anti-Semites see an opportunity, they will use your platform to jump up and use it for hate or whatever. So you understand that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, what would really like lead to more anti-Semitism is like people watching babies have bombs dropped on them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you try to criticize it, you know, you're told that anyone that criticizes bombs being dropped on babies is anti-Semitic, as if it's, you know, as if that's some part of Jewish identity, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's wild. It doesn't make any sense. I, you know, everybody's like, oh, I can't believe like Biden is supporting all this and the Democrats are doing all this. And I'm just like, the more and more like the last 6 months have gone by, the more I've sort of like thrown my arms up about it and just been like, you know, the idea that we were told that in, you know, Trump's America, we're going to get our constitutional rights taken away and we're going to have all these terrible things happen. And then you have, you know, the Biden administration saying that these protests on college campuses are violent and rooted in anti-Semitism and in hate speech. And then they're sending the fucking army to fucking Colombia, the Upper West Side.
Fucking Colombia kids. They're like the softest Ivy League kids.
Ivy League kids. Okay. And like, you're sending them there? That's what you're sending armies for? You couldn't, like, at University of Austin, UT Austin.
That's the one that's most infuriating.
That was super infuriating. You couldn't send a SWAT team to stop babies from being fucking slaughtered in Uvalde. And you could send a bunch of, you could drop the army in to beat up a bunch of college kids who are like, we should maybe stop murdering babies. It's so like, this is the thing, like, yes. Oh, if Trump is president, it's going to be so bad for us. It's going to be so terrible. Like, all of our rights are going to be taken away. And it's like, I'm not sure what rights of mine are really currently like in this particular situation. Yes, Trump is terrible. And I'm not going to try to downplay it. Yes, he is on trial and he is possibly going to prison. All those things are absolutely fucking shit. But it also is the state of this country that is so frustrating that you're like, you think this is bad, that the rights I'm taking away, he's going to take away even more rights. You're like, okay, well, then I guess I better just be happy with the rights you're taking away, you know?
Yeah. It's all infuriating and stupid.
Yeah.
Even like politically speaking, it doesn't make sense anymore. Like, for the Democrats, right? Like, let's say if I want to say, well, I wish that you would, you know, care, because innocent people dying should matter to you, but yeah. apparently it doesn't. But even politically speaking, it is a foolish, like, it's a foolish thing to do. You are driving people away from the polls. And so, as an American, I don't want to live in a country where Donald Trump is president. That is a fucking nightmare. I've already experienced that.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen, right? But at the same time, it's also like, well, if the other side isn't really doing what they have to do, what do you do? What can you say? I think, you know, fine. If the country goes to shit, it goes to shit.
Yeah, I think, like, I remember, obviously, in 2016, I was really pissed at the people that were like, you know, Hillary Clinton hasn't earned my vote because mm-hmm. she's a warmonger and all that stuff. I think I wouldn't say that I totally agree with those people still, but I still don't agree
with those people.
I understand it. I understand that sentiment a lot more because of how I feel that the Democrats are not even trying to get our vote. Like, they're not mm-hmm. even trying to earn the Muslim vote. They're not even trying to earn the Arab vote or the Gen Z vote. Like, you're fucking banning TikTok?
It's like they don't understand what their appeal is. Like, none of us are, you know, Democratic voters because we have a great love of the DNC. We don't give a shit about this party, right? The only reason why we are drawn to you is because, number one, we have two options. And the other option is a dude that's fucking passing out in court and farting in front of the judge, right?
Wait. Is that true?
That is true. He keeps passing out, and people keep complaining about an odor emanating from his seat. Because he's a drug addict who can't get his drugs.
Oh my
God.
That's
the reason why. Right? So we've turned to the DNC because in our understanding, it is the party that cares about people, right? Whatever that means to you, right? Yeah. So, like, for us, when we think about, like, you know, abortion rights or LGBTQ rights, or even, you know, Muslim rights after 9/11, right? Yeah. All of that stuff, right? You think of it from a humanitarian point of view, and you say, well, to me, it seems like the Democrats care more about humanitarian causes.
Sure.
You can't then watch the biggest event happening on a global scale and watch the Democrats' reaction to it and not see that disparity. It's like, okay, what the fuck am I voting for you for?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Where's your humanity?
Like, the big turn for us to get, you know, when Obama was elected, was the fact that, like, we were all bound together against this war that the United States carried out in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, like, that was a big thing. We're like, no, we cannot just go fucking bombing countries because we're mad at a certain small group of people that live there or might be hiding there, right?
Because we're mad at 19 people, none of whom were from either of the two countries that we attacked.
Yeah,
we're all from,
exactly.
We're all, like, from Saudi Arabia and Egypt.
Yeah, like, we can't do that. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't seem like a good tactic, right? And I think, like, the argument to that by some people might be like, well, we as Americans, like, we're not sending our armies there. We keep telling Bibi, like, Bibi, please.
Bibi, please. Not the laser-guided ones, at least. Come on.
No, Bibi, please. We talked about this. And Bibi's like, all right. Like, that can't be enough. Like, the answer can't be, like, we keep telling our Israeli, you know, people to be our Israeli officials to, like, really try to be better. Like,
yeah, I know. Or, like, news stories that come out that Biden is privately very concerned with Bibi. Okay.
He's
very concerned privately? Okay.
I love those.
There's a vote at the UN and the US said no.
Yeah, I love this. As if, like, he was eating his, like, breakfast oatmeal and, like, he grumbled when somebody said something to the guy. Bibi. Yeah.
Guys, I have to tell you something. I am privately very concerned about Bibi. I'm only telling you guys, nobody tell the news.
So stupid. It's like, ugh. I don't understand what we're doing here. And then on top of that, right, We have these fucking motherfuckers like Amy Schumer, who was, you know, talking about comparing, calling all Palestinians Hamas and calling Palestinians like rapists and rape sympathizers, is getting honored by what, Vanity Fair?
Vanity Fair. One of the, did you know Amy Schumer was one of the women of the year? I don't know if you were alive in 2023, but in case you didn't feel it, Amy Schumer was one of the big women of the year. She contributed a lot.
What did she contribute to? Could you remind me again, please?
Absolutely jack shit. And I think that's her, you know, you never want to be like, obviously there is a trope about, you know, Jewish people and Hollywood and all that stuff, right? But you think about what is she being honored for? What was, like, realistically, I hate Amy Schumer because I have a reason to hate Amy Schumer because of everything that she posted, right? Yeah. But I am an entertainment fan. What was the thing that Amy Schumer was in last year? Nothing.
She was in a couple of episodes of, it wasn't even last year. It was the year before she was in season two of Only Murder. Only Murder.
Yeah, she was in.
The worst part of it.
Yeah, she was. I actually looked that up. The only thing she was in was some show called Life and Beth, which is on Hulu, that nobody watches, right? And it came out this year, right? So you're like, well, what was she being honored for? It's not for her entertainment, right?
Yeah.
What is the only other thing she was in the news for? She was in the news for fucking being an awful person on Twitter.
Yeah, about she was being an Islamophobe, being a full-on anti-Arab racist. And Vanity Fair said, let her have it.
And not only that, like, the way that they talk about her, like, she is some sort of, like, trailblazer who doesn't take shit from anybody. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Amy Schumer stands up to her critics and she doesn't give a fuck. And then when you read it, she's like, well, you know, I always feel like it's the criticism is always pointed towards women, which, congratulations, you, Amy Schumer is fighting for you as a woman. Because that's your big thing, right? The patriarchy and stuff. And so it's like, wait, no, hold on. It's not because you're a woman. It's because you're a horrible piece of shit human being.
I know. I know. What are we going to do? Nothing. You can't do anything. What's his name? Hold on one second. There's some sort of an alert coming up. Okay. Also, did you see that Jerry Seinfeld complained about cancel culture? Yeah, he said that Seinfeld could never be made today because of how edgy it is and because of how shows are made now and because there's going to be somebody who sees your script and says it's going to be offended. And so that's a show that could never be made, which is a crazy thing to say considering Larry David is on what season of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
The final season, the 13th season, yes.
13 fucking seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Veep was unbelievably, like, funny. One of the funniest shows that we've all watched, right? Like, these are all former Seinfeld people that were doing even funnier comedy than they did on Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you're sitting here talking about how, like, this is a show that can't be made. Also, the thing about Seinfeld is that it holds up. Like, it's actually one of those shows that you could watch at any time. And it's still really funny and really relatable. It's almost like he's, like, trashing his own television show to some degree or trying to make it like it's an edgier show than it was. Like, Seinfeld wasn't popular because it was some sort of, like we're going to stick it to the man non-PC show.
Yeah.
It was a pretty, like, family friendly show. Like, it wasn't anything crazy.
Exactly. That was actually very disappointing because I love Seinfeld and I love Curb Your Enthusiasm and stuff like that. And I try to figure out, because in general I like Jerry Seinfeld. I like his comedy. I've heard him talk about these things in the past, right? Especially as, like, a stand-up comedian, you know, he talks about, like, well, maybe college campuses aren't really the place where aren't the places that they used to be in the past for stand-ups and stuff like that. And I kind of understand that argument, right? Sure. But hearing him talk about Seinfeld and how that wouldn't be, I don't know if he was just trying to side with the one side of, like, this non-PC debate, because apparently you can only be, you know, either you respect some people, you understand that these things change, or you just say, fuck it, and you just try to offend as many people as possible. And then you try to say, well, I'm just trying to be funny, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
But it's, you know, what I've realized is the thing that he's talking about with, like, well, some of the things that we did back then can't be done anymore. That really, again, just comes down to the person that is watching it. Because I watched, I'll tell you guys this, I watched the end of the Curb. I watched the last season, right?
Yeah.
And I love the last season.
Yeah.
And I love Curb Your Enthusiasm as a show, right? Yeah. My favorite episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is a lot of people's favorite episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, is one called Palestinian Chicken.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's the funniest thing. I remember when I watched it, I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Even then, though, while I was watching it, I felt like, well, some of this stuff is on the borderline, right? Because the point of it is, like, could you have a romantic relationship with somebody that hates you?
Yeah.
So in this case, he was having a relationship with a Palestinian woman, right? Yeah. And while he's having sex with her, she's saying stuff about, like, Jewish people and, like, you know, F me, you, Jew, and all this other stuff, right? And so it's hilarious. It's funny to see that. At the same time, you also say, well, you know, Palestinian people are more than just anti-Jews.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the troubling part of it. So today, I wouldn't go back and I wouldn't watch Palestinian Chicken, especially in light of everything that's going on, right? I wouldn't be able to disconnect the show from the reality and everything that's going on. I wouldn't be able to enjoy it the same way that I did in the past, right? But if somebody else wants to, they're free to. They're free to enjoy that show as much as they want to. Similarly, there's an episode of Seinfeld that I really like, which is not that there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
You remember that episode,
yes,
right? I remember there was like a New Yorker list a couple of years ago ranking the best Seinfeld episodes. And that one was near the bottom of the list, right? And they said the reason why it's near the bottom of the list, like in the critique, was the fact that, well, you know, it is addressing like this... the LGBTQ side of it, right? Like you're basically making a joke out of somebody being gay or whatever. And I remember reading that saying, that's stupid. That doesn't make sense to me. They're obviously also just, you know, they are making light of the fact that you can't say this on TV, right?
Yeah.
So people shouldn't be offended. But it's this exact same thing. If a gay person watches that episode and they're offended by it, I have to accept the fact that they're offended by it.
Yeah.
They take it in a different way than I do. So that's really all it is. You are, again, you are free to make whatever the fuck it is that you want to make. You are free to say whatever the fuck it is that you want to say. You just can't expect that everyone's going to agree with you. And that is okay. It is not your right to be liked.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's also frustrating, like on the other end of things, is like when people like really problematic things, they also argue with you about the fact that it's not problematic. And it's like, no, it's okay that you don't think it's problematic, but as a person who is feeling that triggered by it or feels it's offensive, number one, they're allowed to say, I don't like this and I don't need to consume it. And number two, you can also accept, hey, I like it because this doesn't affect me the same way that it affects you, right?
Yeah.
I think that you can also say that. And like in extreme cases, you can also say, I like problematic stuff. So I'm going to keep watching it. And
also,
that's just
you're
who you are. You're exactly. But I think that because there are like there is this desire that people have to be like righteous and morally good, especially because they feel like everybody has eyes on them. They think that they have to argue with you if you think that you don't like something because you're offended by it. Like it's like, I was talking to somebody and they were talking about how, you know, fucking using woke culture in like a derogatory way and whatever. And I was like, what you're complaining about, like wokeness, is just about inclusivity. Like, yeah, but they get so offended. And I'm like, no, they don't get offended. You get offended when somebody corrects you. So it's actually you who is getting offended. It's not the person who's saying, hey, I think that we should do it this way, or I would prefer it if you addressed me this way. Them simply making a suggestion about how they want to be seen does not mean that they're offended. You getting so pissed off and like butthurt about somebody telling you how they want to be spoken to because you yourself don't know how to advocate for yourself doesn't mean that that person is so deeply offended. It just means that you're offended because you're a little fucking titty baby. And
titty baby. I think I'm offended by that term. I've never heard it before, and I feel like it's pointed at me. Yeah, it's all very, very, very stupid.
Yeah.
And also, like, okay, you know when, like, people get upset when somebody says something bad and then they trend on Twitter and everybody calls them a terrible person or whatever?
Yeah.
It's on Twitter. It's not real life. It's like, yes, if people don't like what you say, that's fine. Okay, you can't be famous on Twitter anymore. That's fine. You can still go out and find your people. Like, if you really believe in your work so much, and if you really believe that your message is something that needs to be heard by people out there, you can say it. Go, you have to work a little bit harder, sure. But if you really believe in your material, just go and do it.
And, like, there's no shortage of spaces where, like, problematic shit thrives.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this idea of, like, oh, I have to be PC because PC culture makes things so difficult. And it's like, if you want to be a piece of shit, go ahead and be a piece of shit. Nobody's stopping you. I did stand up for, like, 3 months. And I can just tell you, living in New Jersey, the amount of shit that I had to listen to about men making, like, terrible misogynistic jokes, like white men making Black people jokes, Jewish people jokes, Asian people jokes, women jokes, gay jokes, like all that stuff. It's out there. And I've talked to my friends who are comedians in the city, and I'm like, oh, I would love to come and do like open mics in the city because it feels like it would be less toxic. And they're like, no, there's toxicity no matter where you go. So this idea that like comedians can't really say what they want to say is just not true, because it's out there. Anybody can get on a stage and say whatever the fuck they want, and one of them is farting and falling asleep in court and become president. Like, there's no, it frustrates me because there are no consequences for people's bad actions anymore. It feels
I think what it is for these people is they don't understand that the thing that they said 25 years ago was accepted by a wider part of society is not being accepted anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yes, it's because standards change.
Yeah.
Because we evolve as people, and that is a good thing, right? So, yes, you aren't going to get as far on a racist joke as you would have 30, 40 years ago, right? That is not a bad thing.
Right? Yeah.
You can still find your pals that will find it funny and go out and have a great time with it, right?
Yeah.
Have your fun, make them laugh or whatever. But just don't expect the rest of society to, you know, agree with you. And when they don't agree with you, that is not on them. You know, they just don't find it funny anymore. And that's okay.
Yeah, I think also it's rich for a lot of people like Amy Schumer or Jerry Seinfeld to be talking about like these kinds of like being trailblazers and all that stuff, while also saying that like the world is so, you know, the campuses are so deeply unsafe for people who are part of their community. And it's like, you get to go and say really terrible things about an entire group of people who are currently being massacred and nothing is done to you. And so I don't know about safety here.
Well, I don't know if nothing was done to Amy Schumer. She was just thrown an award on her head.
She was honored as a... She was bonked in the head with a Woman of the Year award. Anyway, hey, Sixers and Knicks, huh?
Oh, we're going right to sports?
You got something else?
Do people like it when I talk about sports?
You know, somebody... You were so hyped up.
You know what I just realized? I don't know if people like me at all.
Oh, well,
you know,
people do love you, which I feel like you were fishing for a compliment. So.
I was fishing for a compliment, but it also turns out that I don't care. Because, you know, like you tell me that people leave comments about how you hate white women, right? And I'm just like, ah, fuck it. It's her problem. I don't care. But the second half of that message could be, and the brother's a cuck.
No, somebody did leave a comment that you're doing too much sports stuff and they would prefer that you do more Bravo stuff because they think that you're funniest when you talk about Bravo. Hey, speaking of Bravo, can I tell you something real quick? They're casting for Traitor season 3.
Ooh.
And you know who Phaedra said is probably going to be on it?
Who?
Dorinda. Could you imagine Dorinda?
Wacky.
Oh, she's so wacky. She would just straight up ask people, are you a fucking traitor?
Slurring.
Slurring. Just crying, slurring. The round tables with Dorinda would be incredible. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and they also think Teresa might end up on Traitors.
Teresa? Is she still a thing?
She is unfortunately still a thing.
Somehow, are you still into the Housewives of New Jersey? Look at my face. Look how disgusted I am.
I'm so upset. Yeah, I am. They're premiering this week.
Aren't you? Isn't it like sickly sweet at this point? Don't you? Like, the Real Housewives of New Jersey, for some reason, whenever I see them, I imagine walking into a restaurant and my foot gets stuck on the floor because it's sticky.
The sticky floors of a dirty restaurant.
Of a dirty diner.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. You wanted me to tell you what some of their new taglines are?
Please.
Okay, let me see. I feel like actually none of these are that bad, but I think that they're corny. But okay, Teresa, her nickname is Tree.
Yeah.
Oh, so her nickname is Tree, and Teresa fans are called Tree Huggers.
Oh my God.
It's you can try to tear me down, but this tree just keeps on growing. What's not to love?
What's not to love is the fact that that's the first time that I've heard Tree as a nickname for Teresa. That's not a thing.
Melissa says, it's hard not to burn bridges when you're on fire.
No.
Did you ever meet Dolores?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. You would. I think that that's a reason why maybe you should watch some recent Jersey. Because Dolores is amazing. First of all, she does nothing. She just is like a no-nonsense lady from Patterson. Mm-hmm. And the internet calls her Black Dolores because everybody thinks that she's actually a black woman. She's just an Italian lady. And her whole thing is that she has this ex-husband. My God, why am I blanking on his name? She's got this ex-husband who cheated on her terribly while she was pregnant with her second child. But he is a character. Like, he is just huge. Like, remember how you went to a gym where you ran into Joe Gorga?
Yeah, it's one of the greatest moments of my life.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dolores' ex-husband, like, owned that gym.
Oh.
He's a disbarred attorney in New Jersey. A couple of years ago, a couple of seasons ago, he, like, mysteriously had, like, a calf injury where, like, he said his calves exploded and were, like, I think somebody took, like, a crowbar to his thighs probably, or, like, his shins, because he probably owed, like, the mob debt. Anyway, Dolores and her ex-husband are great. And she's her tagline is, I'm a girl from Patterson playing Switzerland dating an Irishman, because she's now dating an Irish guy who is one of the scariest looking people you'll ever see in your life. I'm going to send you a picture. Because I want you to give me a reaction to his face. Dolores boyfriend. I want you to actually Google this. Actually, no, I'm not going to go. I'm going to send you a picture of him because his house looks like it's something and like a Bond villain. And according to the internet,
Is her name Dolores Catania?
Yeah, Catania. She's stunning.
Let me tell you, that's one of the best looking women I've ever seen in my life.
She's amazing looking.
53? Somebody cheated on her?
Yes.
Well, you know what's funny about that? You said that somebody terribly cheated on her. Can you nicely cheat on somebody?
Well, she's pregnant with a baby, and then he terribly cheated on her. Yeah, you know what? Look up her ex-husband, Frank Catania. These Dolores and Frank are like the most New Jersey people you'll ever see in your life. Like, just look up.
Oh my God.
Yeah, look at him. And Frank Catania is this huge guy, and he loves a teeny tiny little apple martini. He's a character. Huh. Yeah. Anyway, so your question was, do I like New Jersey? It's one of those shows that I will watch even when I'm an old lady in a retirement home. It's just, you know what? It's also the proximity to things. Like, I like when I'm like, oh, I know that restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. They drove up 21 to go to that place. So like, I like that stuff.
I piss there.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you're going to the Sixers game?
Yeah. Can we do sports?
Yeah, make it quick. I got to go to bed. I have a flight to catch in the morning.
I can't even talk about Leverkusen, my new soccer identity.
Anyways, we're not talking about soccer. No, absolutely not.
You would love, if you cared about sports. I'm not going to do a whole thing on soccer, but you would love talking about soccer. I only got into soccer last year in October. Mm-hmm. And now I pretend like
last year, October, you mean October 2023?
I mean, October 2023. It's 6 months ago. Yeah. And now I pretend like I'm a big soccer guy, which is very annoying, I'm sure. But you would love it because soccer, unlike the other sports, and the other sports are like this also, but soccer is like the biggest hodgepodge of all these things are true. Like, you love the game, but then there's terrible people that are involved in it. And you love the game, but then there's like terrible money that's coming into the game. So all of those things you would love. Unfortunately, you do not like sports.
I can't do another sport. My brain is at capacity. That's somebody true. Texted me while I was flying, because you know in Islam we say that when you're traveling you should ask a traveler to make a prayer for you. So somebody texted me and said, hey, you're in the plane, why don't you pray for the Knicks? It's like, why the fuck would I play? I got so upset at the text message, I turned into a full monster. I was like, why the fuck would I pray for the Knicks?
So, yeah, we talked about this. You don't care for any New York teams, really, and especially if they're going up against Philadelphia.
No, unfortunately, I sold my soul 13 years ago, so it is what
there you go. So, yes, the Knicks and Sixers are playing. It's very exciting. I am going to the game tomorrow in Philadelphia, and it is an I-95 bonanza. It is. So what happened is the MSG games are amazing because it's Madison Square Garden, right? And then the other games are in Philadelphia. Philadelphia historically has been a great sports town and the fans are always great and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Sixers aren't as big as the Eagles, obviously. They're probably bigger than the Phillies or whatever. But so they have a good fan base, but it's not like the Eagles or whatever. But because there's so many New York fans, the Sixers arena had a lot of New York fans at the arena. So they had a lot of, you know, people, a lot of Sixers fans basically sell their seats to New York fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And what that did was a lot of people were chanting for, or they were rooting for the Knicks. And then after the Knicks beat the Sixers in game four, in the arena, they were chanting, fuck Embiid, fuck Embiid, fuck Embiid. And they were like throwing Sixers jerseys on the grounds. And they were like stomping on them and all those things, right? So it is very, very toxic right now.
And you know what? That's really messed up, because somebody would look at that and be like, yeah, see, this is the shit that happens in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, it's like, no, absolutely fucking not. Actually, those are New Yorkers coming to Philly.
And it's actually not even the New Yorkers, because this is the reason why I'm going, because
it's the tickets are trash.
No, tickets going to MSG are crazy expensive for the games, right?
Yeah.
Going to Philadelphia, the games aren't as expensive. So people like me, where, you know, disposable income, not really a thing, never heard of her. I can go to a Sixers game because it's much cheaper for me than going to a game at MSG. So a lot of New Jersey people are going to the Sixers
game. Yeah, so it's Jersey trash that's really causing all those problems. Well,
exactly.
What can we say? We're the sticky floor of a dirty bar. Okay. Any other sports things?
I tell you one other thing?
Yeah.
This is just a thing where I want to tell you to watch out for somebody, because I've mentioned this guy a couple of times. Do you know who Anthony Edwards is yet?
Yeah, you've told me about him. He's from Minnesota.
Yeah. And he is now. He's probably not the best player in the NBA yet. He probably is going to be next year, but he's about to become a super duper star, like outside of basketball, I would say.
Why?
All I'm saying, huh?
Why is he going to be a super duper star?
Don't make me go into this, but number one is his game is very, very exciting. So what people say is they compare him to Michael Jordan because he moves on the floor like Michael Jordan. And that's the one thing about Michael Jordan is since he left and before him, there was nobody who moved on the floor like Michael Jordan did.
Oh my god, he's this itty bitty baby.
He's 23 years old.
He's a child. He was born in 2001.
I know. And he's amazing. I think he's just 22 right now, right? I think he turns
23
later on this year.
Oh my god.
And his game his game is very exciting, but more than that, his personality is amazing. Aww. He's been hilarious since he came out, since he was drafted in 2020. But he's very, very funny, and he's competitive, and everybody likes him. I will warn you, because I know, you know, people listen to this stuff and also care about social stuff. He does have a couple of issues in his past. So there was a video of him, I think there were some people outside of a nightclub in Minnesota, and he took a video of it, and he said, and he used a gay slur about that were there, right? And he put it on Twitter. And then he got in touch with, you know, obviously he had to apologize, and then he's been talking to the LGBTQ community. And obviously, if you are supportive of that community and you hear that, and you say an apology isn't enough, and fuck this guy.
Yeah.
I understand.
Totally.
I will just say, you know, he was a 20-year-old kid at the time.
Sure.
He's
now a whopping 22.
Who's a whopping 22 now? So, but if it doesn't work for you, once again, completely understood.
That's totally fine.
And the other thing, other issue for him is there was screenshots of his entanglement with an IG model.
Oh.
And let's just say Anthony Edwards supports a woman's right to choose to the tune of $100,000.
Wow. Okay.
Having said that, they are in round two. They're going to be playing the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
You should try to watch an Anthony Edwards game.
When are these games? When's the games?
It starts on Saturday. You're going to be...
I'm going to be in Mexico. Sorry. I'm going to be elbow deep in substances. So I'm not going to be watching any of that. I did want to touch real quick on the final sports things. The NFL draft happened.
Yes.
You know, I don't care about it. No. But I was just haunted by the sound of... Dun, what is that music? How does that go?
Dun, when the pick is in.
Dun, whatever that is. It's so fucking annoying. But it's all over my house. I have a question for you. So one of the funniest things that came out was there was that video of this guy, kid getting drafted. No idea who he is. He's sitting on a couch. His mom, it's his girlfriend, his mom, and him, and the rest of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins, right? And you always have those shots of like the families together.
Yeah.
And so the mom is sitting next to the guy who's gotten drafted, and the girlfriend is sitting next to the mom, and the mom keeps sort of swatting the girlfriend away.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing in the world. It's so messy. So I wanted to ask, who do you think deserves to be on the couch with the player who's drafted? Girlfriend, no girlfriend, baby mama, wife, mom, who do you think should be on the couch?
So this girlfriend thing is one of the low-key, one of the most exciting parts of the draft. Like everybody, that's what we all talk about. Because number one, obviously the parents should be there, the family should be there. I think the mom always should be there. But you can always tell when it's like an old girlfriend versus like a brand new girlfriend that just came because the guy's about to get drafted or whatever. I would say if you have intentions to marry this person at some point, bring them on the couch. Yeah. Because if you don't, then your draft memory forever, like the picture, is just going to be some rando that you were just, you know, dating at the time. You don't want that.
Yeah. It's like the rules you would have about bringing somebody to like your sibling's wedding. It's like they're going to
a cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
Or a sibling's wedding.
Yeah. Siblings. Like they're going to be in the family photos. So like you can't have this person that we're going to have to Photoshop out later because, you know, you were giving it to her like 3 months ago. But it did make me laugh. Have you seen that of the girlfriend getting swatted away from the mom? It's one of the most amazing things in the world.
It happens all the time. There's this one guy named CeeDee Lamb. I remember him when he got drafted by the Cowboys. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. He was sitting on the couch and he was on his phone, texting on the phone. And then his girlfriend picked up his other phone and she was like looking at it and he just grabbed it without looking at her. And it was all on camera.
Oh my God. Ugh. Well, good luck to those kids who are now making millions and millions of dollars.
Who are now millionaires. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
good for them then.
Yeah. I'm not going to do a Bravo episode this week because I am going on a flight and Lord knows if I come back or not, but let's, you know, manifest good vibes for me for this travel.
There you go. I'll manifest. Do you believe that if I pray for you that it's going to catch? You think it'll stick?
I don't know.
I only make like one heartfelt prayer, I think, a month.
Yeah.
And I just went to a funeral today, so I kind of use...
You're tapped out.
I'm tapped out for May.
I don't like the term manifest because it's so heavy on the man. I think that we should do womanifest.
Womanifest.
Yeah. I think if we womanifested, I think we'd just all be happier. But I think that if womanifesting, there'd be a lot more fights.
What if we cut it down the middle and call it man abreast?
Those are totally different. What's happening? We've gone away from manifesting. We're now just talking about titty babies.